Now we're going to come today to the final point in that series. But before we do, I just want to review real quick where we've come so all of you, we're all up to speed together here on what's happening at Down City Church. First, what is the church? The church is everyone who believes, who has come to the heart-transforming trust that Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ means He is the Messiah. He is the one that God has chosen to deal with that thing in you that has got you in all the trouble that you've been in. The thing in you that causes that's caused your family to have trouble, your marriage, your relationships, that puts you on the street, that makes you not get along with your roommate, etc. And this is called sin. This is the problem with every single human heart, is that at the core, the Bible says, we all have a heart that has been poisoned by sin, which is manifests itself in a lot of ways. Pride, selfishness. And that pride and selfishness causes me to act out in so many different ways that do not honor God. And so the problem with mankind for everybody in our city and all of us is this common problem, the problem of sin. The Bible says sin is when I transgress God's law. Does anybody know what it means when you trespass or you go by a yard and it says no trespassing? That means inside these boundaries you're not to step over them. The word transgress means the word to trespass. You have stepped over God's boundaries. God's boundaries, for example, are that you shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet anything that God hasn't given you. God hasn't given you that woman. She's not your wife. You're not to covet her. God hasn't given you your neighbor's car or whatever it may be, his house. You're not to covet it. And so forth. There are God's moral laws reflected in these ways. And the Bible says that every single human being on this earth has trespassed God's boundaries. And so the Bible says that for the wages of sin, the result of sin is death. Someone asked me yesterday, why is it that even good people have bad things happen to them? Well, the problem is that on this earth, everyone has sinned. And the Bible says death is a result of that, but God has done something to solve that problem. God has sent a redeemer. The word redeems means He's going to pay a price to deliver you from that thing that is going to destroy you eternally if you don't turn to Him. Jesus is a redeemer, the one who pays the price to deliver you from that sin. So the church is everyone who has come to believe that Jesus is the Redeemer. You understand and you come to a place of sorrow about the fact that you have broken God's law. Not just the fact that you feel bad that God's had to discipline you for that and you regret that, but even more, you sorrow for the fact that your heart is this corrupt. And so recognizing that, you cry out and say, God, I need to be saved. I need a Redeemer. And you come to the faith that Jesus is that Redeemer. Okay, everyone who has come to that faith, the Bible says, they are the church. So this morning, we are all gathered together as a gathered group. Many in this room have come to that faith. Maybe you haven't. That's great. We want our friends to come, who maybe have not yet come to that convinced faith, but they want to hear more about Jesus the Redeemer, come. Invite our friends. I'm inviting my friends all the time. There is real hope. There is real change. There is real redemption. It's not a wordplay. It's not a mental thing in your mind. This is real. God is here. We want our friends to know this. All right, so great. I don't know where you are this morning, but we're all here. And among us this morning are people who have come to that faith that Jesus is the Redeemer. He is God. The Bible says what happens with everyone who has come to that faith, the way they publicly testify to that faith, the way they announce to all their family members and their friends and publicly join themselves to that gathered group of believers is they are baptized. You know, there was no such thing in Scripture as an unbaptized believer. I mean, when a person came to faith in Jesus in the New Testament, man, the first thing they did, they were baptized. Because when they were baptized, you're indicating, you're giving a visual testimony when you get put under the water and brought out, that that's what Jesus did with my sins. Jesus removed my sins and brought me to new life. And I want everyone to know this. I am publicly identifying myself with Jesus. And so, if you have come to that faith, the very first thing that you should do as a believer is to publicly testify that, be baptized. No such thing in the Bible as someone who is a believer in Jesus who is not baptized or who is not a member of a gathered group of believers. No such thing as a lone ranger floating around somewhere out here, you know. He identifies himself with a local group in the place where he lives who have come to faith in Jesus. And so that is when we say a church, that's what we're talking about. Now, what is, when we've looked in Scripture, and it is so vital for all of you guys to know this because this is you, this is me. We are the church. So you guys have got to know this. What does the Bible say is the church's mission? What is our mission? As we've talked about this, the very first thing we talked about, let's review this very together, okay? Why don't you guys help me out? What is the church's mission? It's twofold. This is your mission, this is my mission, and again, I don't want any guesses here. I want from what we've talked about here on Sunday. That's the second part. That's very good, Dave. Absolutely. That's the second part. What's the first part?
To grow.
God's mission for Down City Church is this, that we grow up into Jesus. So the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. He is the head of the body, and we are the body. So when a baby is born, he's got to grow, and we mentioned this before, you know, when a baby is born, I'm not a doctor, but I have noticed that when a baby is born, the head is a good part of the body, good size. And then what happens is, as the baby grows, the body fills in. So the Bible says that God's mission for the church is that we grow up into Jesus. Jesus is fully developed in his maturity in obeying God's law. Jesus is kind. Jesus is forgiving. Jesus is pure. Jesus is honest. So Jesus wants everyone who has come to faith in him, his mission for the church is that we will grow up into Jesus' maturity. That's what is supposed to be happening in our lives. So that means if you're a part of Down City Church, that's what we're going to be praying about for you, that I need you guys to pray about for me. That's why we gather together every Sunday. And by the way, I want to let you guys all know, it is so important. Someone sent me a text this morning that's a part of our church but couldn't be here. And they said, I can't. I said, man, I wish you could come. I want you to hear today's message. Do you guys know that when we study for these sermons, not only are we listening to God's Word, but guess who we have in mind? All of you. And me. So God's provided, we'll talk about that in a second, but yeah, God's provided that gift to help you to grow into maturity. So God's goal for all of us in this church is that you will grow up into Jesus. And as Dave mentioned, the second part of the mission is this, that we will go out for Jesus. That's why if you go to our Facebook and you become a fan of Down City Church on Facebook, you will see that our description says growing and going. That's God's mission for Down City Church, that we grow up into Jesus, and then as we grow, we go out into this city and we are the body of Jesus in Providence. Okay? So that's exactly right. As we're growing, we're going out with all of our neighbors and our friends, and we're going out here into this city for Jesus to bring other people to know that He is the Redeemer. All right? That is the church's mission. Now, the second thing we talked about is this. How is that mission enabled? How does God see to it that all of us in this church, without exception, all of us grows up into Jesus and goes out for Jesus? How does God enable that mission? Do you remember how this happens? We talked about this. Well, yeah, that's coming up. Yeah, that's true. We're getting warm. We're getting very warm. We're getting very close. Here's how God enables that mission. The Bible says it's actually Jesus who is building the church. Jesus is building it. All right. I'm not building it. He is. So what God does is he gives to Jesus. He brings people to come to faith in Jesus. And as they do, the Bible says God's Spirit gives everyone who comes to faith in Jesus certain spiritual strengths and abilities which the rest of us need. So here's how the church grows up into Jesus and goes out for Jesus at the very peak of its capability is as every member is ministering. Jesus is the carpenter, and Jesus says, okay, Harrison, I want you to be the chandelier. And when I turn, I want those lights to shine. All right? And Iris, you are the front door. When they open up, your job is to be right there. When that knob turns, you open. Jesus is putting together this house, the church. And he's given every one of us different spiritual abilities. And the way that Down City Church will grow up into maturity for Jesus and go out for him, as every one of us is ministering in the way that God made us. Some of you guys in here, God's given you a real heart to serve. You find out things that need to be done. You like to get behind the scenes and see it get done. Some of you, the way God has gifted you, you love to come alongside and encourage people and say, come on, like a coach, you can do it. Other ones of you, when someone is down, you tend to have mercy on them. You tend to have a heart that's merciful, and we need people that have mercy. Some people have a special strength of really being able to really declare the gospel to unsaved people. And there's all different kinds of gifts. Some people, God really gives them a heart to be very generous with material things, although all of us are to be. Some have a special ability to really meet physical needs. Well, what happens is, as the church comes together and everybody is being their part, the light bulbs are shining, the doors are swinging open, the couch is holding people when they sit on it, it's all functioning together and the carpenter's making it, then what happens is the church grows to maturity effectively and we go out for Jesus effectively. All right? So this is how the mission is enabled. Every member ministers. Not half of us, not 65% of us, 100%. So when you guys are part of a church, this is a very special thing you're part of. And God put you here, you know why? Because this church needs you. I need you and you need me. And so what we do is we value one another for what we bring. All right? So that's how the mission is enabled. The next thing we talked about is this. How is the mission led? How does the Bible teach that to grow up into Jesus and go out for Jesus is led? Who leads this mission? What does the Bible teach?
You.
Well, the Bible teaches this, that God selects, God puts it in the heart of certain men who are mature and honorable and have gifts to lead, and the church ordains us. The church recognizes, okay, here we are as a church, we are beginning, and we're beginning to grow and go for Jesus, and we see in our midst that there are certain men that God has gifted who are honorable, mature men who have that desire, and they lead us and oversee us and help us as we grow and go for Jesus. So this is why we value the leadership that God puts in the church, because we know God has put them there to help us grow to maturity. That's their role, and we're thankful for that. The fourth thing we talked about is this, okay? We know what the mission is. We know how it's enabled, how it's led. Fourthly, how was this mission funded? How is it that the church is going to actively be able to go into the city and be able to really help one another grow? How was it funded materially?
By the church, by the people in it.
That's right. Every member.
Tithes, by offerings, by weekly, daily offerings.
That's right. The Bible teaches this, is that the way that the church's mission is funded, us growing and going for Jesus, is that everyone who is a part of that church gives generously as God has given to us. God has given to us generously. We give generously. Then the church takes those funds to support its full-time pastors, to help its members that are in need, and then thirdly, to be able to launch out into the city with ministries of mercy and evangelism and so forth. And so this calls upon all of us. If you are part of Down City Church, you are called to exercise your gifts. Whatever the passion that God, you say, well, I don't know what my gift is. What, all you do is this. What is it that God's put on your heart to do in the body? Start doing it. It's not hide and go seek. God's made you a certain way. God's put the certain desires on your heart. Start pursuing those desires and help out the body. All right? Then all of us, as God gives us income, the job comes in. The Bible teaches this principle of the tithe that you take the first 10% that God gives to you and you give it right back to God. And then above the tithe, as God has blessed you and you want to give more to say, okay, I would like to give more to help out, and God's giving you the ability to do that, then you give. Because as Christians, we realize that this life is not going to last. You brought nothing in this world. You're going to carry nothing out. So you use money to advance God's kingdom. That's what money is about. It's not to pile up because you can't take it with you. You realize that the next world is where you're going to. So this world, you use money to gain things there. That's what you do. All right, so that's how it's funded. Then, how is this mission pursued? This mission is pursued, as Harrison said, with what kind of a focus? As we pursue growing up into Jesus, growing into His maturity, and going out for Jesus, where do we focus when we want to help one another grow up into Jesus' maturity and to go out for Jesus? What is it, the one thing we focus on like a laser for that to happen? The gospel. We focus on the person and work of Jesus. This is why you'll notice this morning when Micah was leading the songs tend to be focused there. When we're talking to one another, when you come on Wednesday night, and we've been talking lately about forgiveness, that God can forgive your worst sins. Because a lot of times that's what holds people down. They feel like, man, I cannot forgive myself for what I did 3 years ago. And those sins weigh them down. We're talking about what Jesus did for you can really let you free from that, to let you free to really serve God. Okay? Well, how is it that a person is able to grow up into Jesus when they focus on the person and work of Jesus? They focus on the gospel. Not focusing on, 10 steps to be a better employee, 15 secrets to getting along better with your son, 29 things that'll make you happy today. Which times you can go to a church and you might hear those things, say, wow, great, That's not what it's about. If you're going to grow up into Jesus and go out for Jesus, you got to focus on Jesus. You got to know what He did for you today, tomorrow, what He's doing for you right now. That was what will help change you. All right? So we focus on the gospel. And the next, it's pursued. The Bible teaches that the church's mission is pursued together. That means we're actually gathered together as a church. When we pursued this mission as Down City Church, we're not saying, okay, guys, you guys all live around the city. You all got your own lives. Great. Go for it. We'll touch base whenever we get you. Hey, dude, fist pump. See you later. No. We do it together. This is why it's so absolutely vital that you guys gather when the church gathers corporately. And Down City Church gathers corporately twice in a week. Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30, and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And by the way, I realize some of you guys that are just now becoming Christians say, wow, twice a week to go to church. And your family says, whoa, what are you becoming, a priest? Well, actually, you are as a Christian. You are. But, hey, man, the Christian life, we do this thing together. So if I'm going to really help my brothers and sisters grow up into Jesus, I got to spend time with them. If I'm never around them, if I see them for 2 minutes a week, it's a quick hi and bye. Hey, how's it going? Good. How's the weather? Great. How was dinner? Great. How was your week? Great. All right. But it's as I spend time together that we know where each other is. We do this thing together, not only in person, but we also do it together in spirit. So that we strive as a brand new church to really be united in our heart for the gospel. Not with a bunch of tangents. One guy comes in, he's focused on one particular narrow thing that he's focused on. That's all he wants to talk about. He wants to talk about politics. And all this person wants to talk about is some other narrow issue, But instead, we're all focused on the big thing, and the big thing is the person and work of Jesus. And in our spirit, that's what we're united about. That's what unites us. Okay, guys? So you understand? This is your church. We are the church. So we are growing and going for Jesus. Every one of us ministering together, performing the role that God's given us to do, being led by men that God's prepared. We are all funding it as God has blessed us with income. We are pursuing this with a focus on the gospel, and we are pursuing this together, in person and in spirit. This is what you're going to get ready to covenant to. Okay? Then we've been talking about more recently the church's bond. What is the bond as the church pursues this mission together? What is the thing that's like the oil in the car that keeps us all on the same page together? The Bible says the church's bond is what? Bingo. This is why Dave sits in the front row. He's the head of the class. The church's bond is God's self-sacrificing, initiating, unconditional love. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God." Love is the oil of the church. Real self-sacrifice. This means, again, when you walk into the church, it's not about you. It's about God. Life is about God, not about me. And if you walk in the church, the Bible says, every man look on other people's interests, not your own. So if you walk into a place where everybody is focusing on ministering to everybody else, you're going to have a very happy place. People self-sacrificing, taking the initiative, and loving unconditionally. As we all in life sometimes go through downs and ups. This kind of love that does not quit, that stays. And by the way, real love, as we looked at a couple Wednesday nights ago, what does it do? Love shares with one another in times of need. That means we open up our wallet, or we take people out and we give them our chicken. We share with people our in need. Real love means that we forgive one another when we have a complaint against each other. Real love means that we don't speak evil against each other. Real love means that we encourage one another and so forth. Real love is demonstrated in several practical, real ways. It's not just that I say, oh, I love you. But it means in real life ways that we demonstrate self-sacrifice, unconditional, and take initiative in people's lives. That's the bond of the church. And then what we've talked about most recently is this, the church's glory. What is the beauty as the church is here together, they've come to faith in Jesus the Redeemer. They've been baptized. They gather now together in body and in spirit. They're exercising their gifts. They are funding this. They are together in spirit. They're exercising and acting in love towards one another. And then what is the glory of this gathering? What is the glory of the church? That's right. The holy and lovely presence of the Lord. It is His presence is what gives the church its unique beauty among all other gatherings in the city this morning. It's the holy and lovely presence of the Lord. And so we've talked about lately to live in the awareness of that presence. And then last Sunday we spoke about this, that because God is in fact holy, and He has taken all of us who have believed in Him and made us His child, now we are in the way we live to be holy, to be different, to be special. That's what we are to be. So now this morning, we come to the final point that we are all going to covenant to as a church. And I just want you guys to know before we spend just a few minutes looking at this final point this morning, the goal of these messages, these 13, and today's the final one, and my prayer has been that every single one of us will embrace this mission, this bond, and this glory. What I want to see, what God wants to see for us, is that what would not happen in our lives is that you guys would hear these messages and then leave the same self-focused, unloving, ungathering, ungiving person and just sit here in the pew and hear the sermons and leave and stay the same way you are. No, that has not been my prayer nor the goal of these sermons. The goal is that all of us will embrace this, that this will be your new life vision, the vision for your life. That is nothing short of the goal. Do you understand when you come to Christ, it is absolutely life transforming? You are part of something brand new. You are part of the church, and that is to be the vision for your life. Do you guys know what a vision is? A vision is you having a clear mental picture of what could be and the conviction that it should be. Then you have a vision. I have a clear mental picture in my life of what life could be if I were to really embrace God's mission for me, which is to grow up into Jesus and to go out for Jesus. I don't care where I work. I don't care where I go to school, what my neighborhood is. The big thing God's doing in my life, I don't care who the president is or the mayor is. Those things are all secondary to the big thing that God's doing, and that is He wants me to grow up into Jesus' maturity and to go out from in the city. I embrace this calling, Jesus, with my heart. I see what my life could be, and I'm convicted that it should be that way. Then I see, God, that Your Word teaches, okay, that what happens is that You place me in this body and give me certain abilities. So God, I want to start using those. I want to be active in this body. I want to be there in person and in spirit. And I'm going to change my schedule. On every Wednesday night, do I watch? I don't know what's on TV on Wednesday night because I'm here, but whatever's on the Wednesday night, you tape it. You DVR, DVR it or whatever. TiVo it. Because you know what's happening? The big thing that's happening in your life, the church gathers. That's the big thing. And so you adjust your life in spirit and body. And you say, okay, in the past, when I used to go to the other church, now I give God a tip every week. Reach down and crap on the wall and give God $2 and throw there and give Him a tip. Instead, now what happens is God deals with you. You give generously as God has given to you. Now, instead of being here and saying, okay, again, I hope I get a good word to kind of make me feel good today. I'm going to take off during the week. Instead of thinking like that, well, you're saying, God, man, I want to change. And if I need to be more loving and whatever, I want to adapt my life. I'm going to change. That's been the goal, guys, is that all of us, you will embrace what we've talked about, that this will be your mission in your bond, in your glory, and mine too. That's the goal. That all of us together have this one vision. We are Down City Church, and together we see this as our mission, and we embrace it. All right? That's the goal. So now today, the final point is this, the church's purpose. We know what the church's mission is, the church's bond, and the church's glory. I'm going to take just a few minutes. The church's purpose, then, is this. If the church will embrace, if you will embrace God's mission for you and me together, and you will submit yourself to the bond and the glory of the church, the Bible says the result will be this. The church's purpose is to display God's glory. That is the purpose. That is why, guys, we exist. God, you know the Bible says, the book of Isaiah, everyone that is called by my name, I have created for my glory. By the way, I want to pause to say to you guys, you know, when I was growing up, my favorite question to ask my dad was, why? And some of you guys, some of these guys know me better than other ones, but I like to ask questions. I don't know if you know that, but I like to ask a lot of questions. Well, when I had bad grammar growing up, and so I would say to my dad, the way I would ask him, I'd say, Daddy, why come? Why come? Why come? I remember sometimes my dad would come home and be reading the newspaper. My dad would say, and he's reading the newspaper, I'd say, well, what does it say, Dad? And he would say, well, you know, this happened. Well, why come? You know. And after a while, my dad would say, Teddy, it just happened, all right? You know, that's why. But, you know, what happens a lot of times, all of us in life want to know why. You know, God, why did you let me, why was I born in the family that I was born in? Where are you going in my life? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did God create the animals? Why did God create the land and the sea? Why has God done everything that He's done? Do you know that the ultimate reason, the reason why God has done everything He's done, even in your life, why God, by the way, allows handicaps, why God allows death, and I can take you to Scripture for every one of these, the ultimate reason, and it's the last thing when I was a youth pastor that I taught our youth group, worship is why. The ultimate reason that God is doing everything in your life is to display His glory, that you will come to see and your life will display the greatness of God. The church's purpose is to display God's glory. And I want to take you to one passage this morning. The book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And if you're using one of the church Bibles, it's page 527. I hope. Page 527, or the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 61, verse 1, 2, and 3. The Bible is speaking about Jesus, and the Bible says in Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." God has chosen me, the Bible says about Jesus. And what is Jesus going to do? Jesus' purpose is this: to bring good news to the afflicted, to people whose lives are going through all kinds of difficulties and trials. God has sent Jesus to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. This is why Jesus has come. Jesus' purpose is to take people whose lives have been afflicted by their sin and preach good news to them. People that have been brokenhearted because of their sin. They mourn. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will inherit the earth." Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Your heart's been broken because of your sin. Jesus came to preach good news to you, to proclaim liberty to people who are held captive by their sins, and freedom to prisoners. That's why Jesus came. What does verse 2 say? "To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion," which was in Jerusalem, "giving them a garland instead of ashes," or a crown of beauty like a tiara. Here's a person whose head is covered with dirt and grime and ashes, and the Bible says that Jesus puts on your head instead a beautiful tiara, a crown of beauty. "The oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting." That's what God wants to do in the lives of the city, guys. That's what He wants to do in your life, to totally change your life. Instead of a person who's captive to sin, you're set free. Instead of a person who is fainting, you are now strong. Instead of a person of mourning, you're now filled with praise. Your life is changed so that, what will happen, verse 3, "they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord," for what reason? "That He may be glorified." The church's purpose is to display God's glory. You know what? You know what God does? God takes a bunch of human beings whose lives are a mess, and He takes them and He plants them in new soil, and they become oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for this reason, that God may be glorified. God is taking your life, and the reason why everything has happened in it, and the reason why God, if you have come to faith in Jesus, has done that in your life, is because He wants our life to shout to the world, God is alive, God is great, and God is good. I was telling someone yesterday, again, they were asking me, you know, why is it that bad things happen even to good people? Do you guys know that as human beings, it's a common part of life on this earth to have suffering and sorrow? Do you know everybody in this room is going to die? That's going to be sad. Everybody in this room is going to get sick. This is a part of human life. The difference is with people who've come to faith in Jesus, how they respond to suffering. It's not that they don't suffer, but the one who knows God, because they really trust Him, what God, and God promises He's going to make everything work together for good in their life, and the way they respond to suffering is what makes everyone say, "Wow, God is great. God is alive." And when God takes your life, and before you were a drug addict, and you were a thief, and you cheated on your wife, and your mouth was filled with cursing and bitterness, and you were a negative, griping, complaining, jealous, gossiping person, and now God changes you. And now instead of every time you open your mouth and you get around your family, you sit down for 5 minutes at the dinner table and you have somebody for dinner, their reputation, instead of your mouth being filled with gossip, it's filled with positive things and good things and only kind things. instead of being a liar and always telling half-truths and twisting things and no one can trust your word at all, you say one thing, everybody's like, oh, well, I hope it's going to happen. But most times when that guy says, I'll be there, he's a good chance he won't be there. Instead of that happening, now you become an honest person. And as God does that in your life, then people say, wow, God is real. Do you see the potential your life has to display the beauty of God if you will embrace who He is? The Bible says, as the grace of God spreads to more and more people, it causes the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As God's goodness spreads to more and more people in our city, it will cause the city to give thanks and it will give God glory. That is the purpose of the church, to display God's glory. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow one day of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The ultimate thing that God is doing in this universe, with every fall and winter and spring and summer and dinner and weddings and babies born and people dying and people getting sick and people getting well, in sunny days and in rainy days, and different politicians being elected, and as life goes on, the big thing that God is doing on this earth in your lifetime is displaying His glory so that more people will come to believe that He is the Redeemer. That's the big vision that you guys should have for your life. I love what someone said. He said, as Christians, we do not have the right to take our talents, our abilities, our experiences, and our opportunities, and our education, and just run off in any direction we please. God has a vision for your life. What could possibly be more fulfilling than that? And so I want to say to all of you guys, I want to urge you as I come to the end this morning, to resist in your heart, which I think is part of being American, is this selfish wanderlust that wants to rove around. Well, I'm going to go take off. I really can't commit to the purpose of the church because I got my career I'm heading on and my thing. And so, I'll be part of it a little bit. But what's driving me is this big passion I have for my life to have meaning and worth. Your life will never have more meaning and worth than embracing the mission and bond and glory of the church. Please listen to me, human beings. I would tell you guys this. If I was not a pastor, if you were my brother or my neighbor, I would tell you this because it's the Bible truth. Your life will never take on more meaning or value than if you will embrace the mission, bond, and glory of the church. I beg you to do it. Guys, I don't want to spin my wheels myself. If you want to, you can. I don't want to do that. Can you guys see in this city, and this is what I want to urge you guys to do as I come to the end. Guys, instead of spending the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years roving about, never settling, I can make $5,000 more a year if I move to this city. I could advance in this way. I could do that. I could have this connection. Guys, do you know that right now we are in the least evangelized part of America? That is a fact. That is Pew Research statistics this past year. If you want to display God's glory in the darkness, stay here. Guys, what about if we as a church, as a brand new church, made it our, if we took this vision, God, in the city, in this one city, we can't be everywhere, but we can be here, in this one city, the city called Providence, we will commit ourselves to being the church here. And God, in this place, in our lifetime, would you take all of us and display your glory? Guys, that would be the most beautiful thing you could do with your life. What if God, in our lifetime, were to radically change this city? Can you imagine being part of that? And some of you guys are going to be in politics, and some of you are going to be in business, and some of you guys are going to be down here in Kennedy Plaza because you know those guys, and you'll be down there having coffee with them, but your life has changed, and you're going to be able to bring them to Jesus. And some of you are going to be in college campuses, and some of you are going to live around. And by the way, we have 25 neighborhoods in this city. Guys, we're barely touching the surface. We've just started. If all of you guys, of all of us together, would get that vision for your life and embrace being the church, what you would accomplish and what we would accomplish in our life would be astounding. Catch that vision. Don't selfishly just wander around. And I realize, by the way, there may be some of you that are in school right now. You say, well, I really have a burden to go back to my home city. Okay, that's fine. But I want to say to all of you, even you, I want to say to you guys who are in college, that part of college life sometimes, I've been there and spent a lot of time on college campuses, is it can be a very selfish time in your life, because everybody goes to school and they're focused about, you know, advancing, getting their education, they're going to do all this kind of stuff. Guys, do you know that all around you is the least evangelized portion of America? I urge you, I'm inviting you as the pastor of this church to embrace with Down City Church this mission, bond, and glory. Do you want to see this city change? Do you want to see the country change? It will not happen at the ballot box. It will happen in the lunchroom. It will happen in your house. It will happen in the city park. It will happen as you really embrace God's mission. You start talking to your friends. That's how the city will change. And I want to encourage all of you, even that are here, you say, okay, man, I want to be part of Down City Church. I want to encourage you to come all the way. Put both feet in. Commit yourself to gather, to give, to love. Guys, if only 30% of us or 50% of us are doing this, this church will not reach its full potential. But yet, if everyone in here is embracing that mission and bond and glory, there is no limit to what God could do. There's a 40-something, I don't know how many of us are in here right now. If all of us would embrace this mission, and what if at the end of this year, we're only 3 months in, if God used you this year to bring one person to believe that Jesus is a Redeemer? And so we gather in December, now there's 80 of us here. And the next year, those 40 come to embrace this mission, vision, and bond, and you do as well. And the next year, we all bring one, now there's 160 of us. And 2 years from now, there's 320. And 3 years from now, there's 640. And 4 years from now, there's 1,280. It keeps on going. I every single day, almost without fail, I'm talking to real people, my neighbors, who are living in this city, who desperately need to know that God is alive and real. And so the Bible says to me, and God says to all of us today, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You can't help it. If you are a city on a hill, everybody sees you. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. You are the light of the world. No one takes a light and puts it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Guys, what God is calling you to do, literally to do, and me to do, is in our lifetime to be what He has made us to be, His people, the church. To embrace it with all of our heart, and then what will happen, guys, is this. God will be able to display to this city that He is real, and He can change you. You know why? Because He's changing all of you and me. And if He doesn't change us, guys, then why should anybody come to Jesus? Because it's just a bunch of words. The reason people will come to Jesus is because they see Him changing you. That's what you must see. That's what I need to see. And for that to happen, I have got to be the church. This is what's happening. The church's purpose is to display God's glory. Will you guys, with me together, embrace this mission, this bond, this glory, and this purpose? Let's, by His grace, relying on Him, see what God will do in our lifetime in this city. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we look to You this morning. Lord, I have a clear mental picture of what could be. And I am convicted that it should be in this city, God. What needs to happen here is the church needs to be the church. And Lord, display your glory, your beauty through us. Lord, I pray for everyone who believes on you as Savior that today you will give them that vision, and together we will embrace it. Lord, that we will love one another, that we will give, that we will, every one of us, minister. Lord, just do this great work in our lives. And I pray that you'll display your glory in each of our lives this week as we just yield to your purpose for us. God, do this great work in our church, your church that you are building, Lord. We pray in your great and awesome name. Amen.